So, for the next hour and a half or so, we're going to have a few simple reflections. First, let me just mention something. Interesting thing how educators have tried to examine what is the best way to learn something. And so there are some interesting statistics that give some indicators about the best way to remember, to learn, to process things. So write this on the board. We normally remember from this side, that's small. Normally we retain and remember for 10%, this is in general now, of what we read. 20% what we hear. Can you write? 30% what we see. 50% of what we see and hear. Normally, we as devotees usually reflect on the fact of hearing, which is the most powerful, but not in Kali Yuga. You know, in the early times, people could hear, you know, they were Shastris, they worked with Shudidars. Just by hearing, they remember, didn't have to write anything down, didn't have to be repeated so much, but Kali Yuga's mindset is not so much. So, usually it's important to see, here, and usually it's important to experience, and then it becomes much more meaningful. And the best way, just like some of you have noticed, when you give class, you read the same verse, but now that you have to give class, you read that same verse, and it has more meaning to you, because you know you're going to have to explain it. You're going into it in a certain way, because you have to share it, you have to teach it. So one of the best ways to learn anything, really, the very best way is to teach it. Or the best way to study and to read is to read or to hear something in the spirit that you're going to have to share it, you know, with someone else. Because the mind is accepted in one way, but then when you really think that you have to speak it, you have to share it, then it goes deeper in its appraisal, evaluation, scrutinization of the subject matter. So, lots of times in workshops, seminars, it's good to do things where people can teach and share directly. But we're just going to do a few simple things. But the main thing, we want everybody to be able to participate. Because we see 80%, we learn more by participating. That is by listening to somebody speak, listening to somebody else. So even though everybody won't have a chance to directly to share, but each assignment we want you to participate, to think about it, you know, yourself. These three or four things that we'll do as assignments. Okay, now, as we look at the fact that we all want to participate, we're all in community. Community is all of us. What it is what we are, collectively. Now, what we want to do is look at what Bhaktivinoda we hear many, many times. He gives us the first and most basic formula for a healthy person and for a healthy community. We've heard in the Shikshamrita, what we know explains that for individual, for community to be successful, the first has got to be addressing the physical needs. Alright? We said in the early days, sometimes we didn't take much time with that, because after all, we're not these bodies. But in order to minimize and to deal with the body, we have to deal with it nicely so we don't have to deal with it. We deny the body, we have to become more body conscious, because then we got to be working on it, preparing it, fixing it up, patching it up, etc. So, just right under here, this is number one, proper care of the body. Finish, you want to write down, you can write down. But we're going to ask you one or two writing things, so if you save a little bit of paper, or at least half your paper, for something that we're going to ask you to write later. So proper care of the body, not the body, you take care of the body, we don't have to worry about it. Two, what do we know mentions that for healthy individual, healthy institution, that there's need for proper mental stimulation. In other words, the mind is to be satisfied. And three, healthy socialization. And four, study of the Shastra. Now, Bhaktivinoda gave much more attention to all of these areas than Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada did not put a whole lot of emphasis on number one. In one sense, number three, and not so much number two. However, we definitely distinctly understood that Prabhupada would have stayed longer. He was going to address much more the socio-economic structure for our society, etc. But we mention this in no way of minimizing Prabhupada. It's the opposite. But sometimes we have to understand that a lot of our earlier posture of our movement is due to Prabhupada's arrangement. In other words, Prabhupada's been writing from the spiritual world, and he's giving us the highest. And he wasn't really overly concerned about our physical situation. Not really. See, the father is concerned with everything. But Prabhupada was really concerned about getting us out of here, basically. It was only later, when he saw that we were so weak, we weren't catching up, that he started speaking a little more and addressing about Varnashram Dharma, etc., etc. But that wasn't really Prabhupada's, you know, major interest, obviously. So what he really was concerned about is really making, you know, pure devotees. In the process of the road becoming pure, there's a lot of issues to deal with. A lot of maintaining body and soul together, etc. So it is a fact that this area here, healthy social situation, it wasn't so much given so much emphasis in the earlier formulation of this one. It's much more addressed on Shilina books, getting out the holy name. So we were moving to pioneers on vans, and later really more building temples, and later trying to look at community, etc. So Prabhupada wanted to himself give us much more direction in these areas, but he didn't stay that long to do that. What was most important was, in fact, a given. But at the same time, certain amount of in-between things is up to us to be able to do. Like Prabhupada would instruct us to distribute the books, and he would want us to use our intelligence of how to do it. He didn't have to give us every specific idea about how to distribute the books. That wasn't his duty. But he set things in motion.
But what do you notice that he has no? That unless all four of these are in place, there's going to be a problem with the individual, with the community, with the institution. If we don't do the proper care of the body, we study the Shastra, we have some kind of socialization, our mind is stimulated, there's going to be a problem. Because there'll be desire, but the body won't be so functional. You know, we're not these bodies that take care of us. If we are engaging our bodies, but if our minds are not satisfied, one, the mind is not satisfied, we can do things out of duty, but only for so long. If the mind is not satisfied, we can do things, and even if it goes a little beyond duty, but we won't be able to give our full self, or we won't be as productive or creative as we could if it's something that's outside of our real nature, or our real nature skill, or outside of our presence setup. When we mention about need, we come back to that again. Healthy socialization. Even if a body's taken care of, we're doing something we're happy with, but we don't have some environment that's also what we can align with, then there'll be a problem. You may like what you do, but if you don't have a community to do it with, that's appreciative, there'll be a problem. Let me just take a real mundane example. Just think about any material thing that you ever wanted or that you would like to have. Any material. Put them all together. Now you have all of those things. But now, there you go. Mystic power. Now you have all of those things. There's nobody to associate, to enjoy them with. Nobody even to be around who can be envious of you for having all this. Nobody who can brag, show what you have. That'd be miserable. So you realize, it's not just the thing, but it's also the relationships that make such things important to share, or even to let people know what you've achieved or whatever. But if you're the only person around, nobody to share with, so socialization is important. And because ultimately, we're not just trying to have good material life, or even a good mind, psychological, emotional state, but we're trying to be transcendental. So all of these things, if there is not proper study of Shastra, will not mean very much. So an individual, as well as a institution, needs to really see that all of these needs are being discussed, given attention to. Now we talked about the fact that a healthy community, we're looking at what the category of the needs of each person, each vana, each ashram, and also what are their obligations, responsibilities to the community. What do they give? What's expected for them to give? As well as what they should be receiving. Both things are important. Someone may have special needs and they're expecting to get something from the community, certain things. But if they're not also considering what is it that they are a member of the community that they should be about doing and giving for making that community whole. If both things also not there, there'll be a problem. Now some people are like that. Some people, they come into any kind of gathering, any type of corporation, unity, but mainly they're just trying to get something. They're not really thinking what's expected of them. The other people who try to be selfless, they're just trying to think what they can give, what they can do. But then they become emotionally bankrupt and they're working and they're doing and they're serving, but their own needs are not being addressed. And after a while, they collapse. Or after a while, they do something in trying to take care of their needs. So both issues are extremely important. Now, from authentic versus pseudo, there's certain things that make a genuine sense of community. And we'll put them in C's. Let's put them under here. Communication. If you look at this word, this conception of community. To what degree is there really open, honest communication? Can people really share what they're feeling? Can they really express what their fears are? Can they really speak
way to let others know that they're in need, that they're in crisis, that they're in trouble? Can they really speak to someone else and offer the best that they can, wisdom, guidance, instructions, without the person feeling that they're just trying to bring them down or criticize? To what degree can there be dishonesty? Not always a matter of saying what somebody wants to hear or flattering someone, but to what degree can we say things that are palatable, people want to hear, but in what degree can we say things that may not be such things people want to hear, but it's the best offering that we can make as trying to serve them. So communication. Two, cooperation. Another C. To what degree is there some kind of synergy where people complement each other? There's a vision and there's some way that people are trying to move, you know, with their vision. See, forced conformity is just coercion. It's abusive. But at the same time, just total free expression of individualism is anarchy. Both extremes will not bring real community. People should be able to have diversity and differences while at the same time honoring unity. People should at the same time be able to have independence, but recognizing that they have responsibilities. See, when a community is a community by force, see, sometimes we get people to do things that are kind of by force, and it all works well for a real short time, because it's artificial. But then we have a situation where everybody do whatever they want, whenever they want, get them on the bus, and it's just, nothing will happen. It'll just be a lot of frustration. A lot of so-called freedom is in frustration, and then people even, you know, they will desert, because people do want some guidance. They want to be under something that they feel is secure and is going somewhere. So unity, what we go to the next one first. The other one is, you see, communion. And that means the things we do together, the rituals, the samskaras, the festivals, that there's a need for these three. There's a need for these three, along with what we said before. There's a need for these three to really be in place. That communication. Do we have this to go to? Can we approach the temple commander, wrestler head, temple president? Can we approach and offer our help, our advice, offer our suggestions, offer our problems, offer our criticism? But can we do that in the spirit of trying to see how to make the family better? Or do we refrain from speaking because we're afraid to say what we really mean because we feel that we will be understood, or we will be, taxed for it, because we want to favor one the person, we want to gracious and fatter someone, so that they will do what we want to do, we will get what we want. How much is their posturing? How much is their utilitarianism, opportunistic activities going on? Or to what degree are the people in the community really being concerned about the other's genuine welfare, their spiritual growth? And so sometimes that brings a different kind of communication. If you see that, and I'm attending my rounds, 90% of the time I'm falling asleep. And you think, well, I'm not going to say anything. This is not helping me or helping you either. Because one, I'm doing this bad habit, getting reinforced. And two, because I'm a member of the community, I'm also now contaminating the community by, in one sense, by my sleeping in my rounds, suggesting that chanting rounds is not so important. Or that it's not so significant to be attentive, etc. So then, when you speak to me, say, Maharaj, you know, you probably need to take a little better care of your health, because you're looking too tired. As a matter of fact, notice in your rounds, after 5 minutes, you are out.
you have rendered great service to me by helping me to be more careful about my realm, so that my spiritual life is more consolidated, stronger, and also what I'm offering to the community is something that has a more greater quality. It's usually a problem. In most organizations, in most so-called communities, is that people don't really trust each other sufficiently. They don't care about each other deeply enough to really to make the sacrifice to try to be the servant of the servant, the genuine. So being a servant of the servant doesn't mean that you're always right, but it means that when you feel there's a chance to serve, to offer, to help, that you're ready to do it in an honest way. Many projects have not had Issa Gosis in years. I was visiting one place a couple of weeks ago. They never had Issa Gosis. Now their problem is that, well, Maharaj, when we had Issa Gosis, 43 years ago, it just turned into everybody just finding fault. Of course. If you take 3 or 4 years to have open discussion about community issues, then when it does come up, that all this stuff bottled in, and everybody's holding this, and they just all drop it, and then you think, okay, no way to go. But if you have them more on a regular basis, you have more chance to see what people are needing, what they're feeling on, what the anxieties are, what the problems are, and let them know that whatever's going on with them, that you're concerned in such a way, and the community is concerned. Because a problem should never just be a problem of a particular person. Should be, well, this, see, sometimes we're approaching things in this kind. It's a guru kula problem. It's a guru problem. It's a public relations issue. Yeah, yes and no. It's a community issue. It's manifesting through now in this area of public relations or guru kula, etc. Because the health as well as the weakness of that particular group of a person is in connection with the community. And for it to be solved in a more holistic way, it takes also evaluation of what that means in relationship to other divisions, other groups, other parts of our organization. So we look at the rules issue. Yes, we look at that in relation to everything else. Guru Kula, relation to everything else. Well, that's a Grihastha issue. I remember when I first came to remember the GBC, I think I'm the third most senior in terms of being on the board, how long I've been on the board. I remember days when we would have meetings that we are going to have in a few weeks in my board, and something would come up about the Guru Kula. And then you would immediately hear a couple of voices say, well, that's a Grihastha problem. Huh? Now, you see why we're in such a shit right now. Here we are, 95% of us in the saffron. And most of the householders on the board are more renounced than most of us the sannyasis. Right? So you have a board of people basically who are pretty much in a renounced state. Even the householders, many of them on the board, didn't have children or they have older children. So they weren't experiencing the day-to-day issues of the average devotees who were supposedly serving. And then there's an issue that needs a lot of attention, Grihastha, Guru Kula, which is the fruits of all of our labor. And then we as the sannyasis say, well, that's the household problem. and even if we said, even if we would make it that, no problem. If it was a householder problem, and then we allow the householder the resources and the finances to let it be their own problem. We said, the householder problem, and we sell the resources and the finances, we say it's their problem. So, no, it's an institutional problem. It's a community problem. In terms of cooperation, we all have to be careful that we don't have an institution that's like each lord in his kingdom, or like each particular guru and his disciples. The federation here, and you know, how you fit into that, you know, somehow, and you're part of the federation. Otherwise, you're on the sidelines. So, to some extent, if we're not careful, that will accelerate. We're not focusing more on the sense of community. Yes, identity is there. You have your guru who has disciples. There is identity, and there should be accountability and integrity and responsibility. But at the same time, it's a family, it's inside of a larger family. Father wants us to be DBCs, first concerned about the world, and then about our particular area of responsibility, but about the world, about the whole organization. So, if we have a situation where we have cooperation, but the cooperation is mainly based on each Raj, each guru, and his dependents, and if you cooperate in that way, everything is nice for you. You get opportunity, responsibility, and encouragement. And if you're not part of that, then you're sort of on your own. Good luck. But the cooperation should be based on what is healthy for the general community. And then the communion is that we need to do things together. Some scholars are very important in communities because they give us a chance of what? It gives the individual a chance to be reminded what important life change he or she is going through, what's expected of them. It gives the community a chance to be aware, to give their blessings and love and affection for the person who's undergoing that. It gives the community a chance to be able to help that person as they move through such an important time in their life. You know, whether it's haircut, first brain, first day going to school, whether it's marriage, initiation, or death. That to do these most important things on one's own is almost suicide. One of the reasons a lot of our marriages have trouble, because we see when there was rich culture, is that there was so many minds involved in a marriage. Somebody's going to get married, both families were involved, they were put in together, and they had a major responsibility to try to hold it together also. And there was an issue, a problem. Both families were genuinely concerned because they helped put it together. And the parties who were undergoing the difficulty had faith in their parents or in the community that the community members offering advice were genuinely trying to help. It's so much easier when there's a conflict if both parties have faith in the person who's trying to mediate. If that person is offering something, they're both ready to listen and try to consider. Nowadays, people have problems. They go to some marriage counselor who has 10 other clients and gives them 45 minutes an hour, takes their money, and says, okay, now we'll see you again next week to see how this works. So that person doesn't have really invested interest in their lives. And after the thing is over, they may be out of sight. So many things we do together like this with the communion makes all of this come together. Now, we look at what we have so far. That we learn the best from teaching, and next is what we participate in, what we discuss. So more and more, we see, and it's happening nicely in this time, is that there's more and more seminars and classes, systematic study, Bhakti Shastra, Bhakti Shastra, etc. Even in the Bhakti Viksha program, there's more kind of focus in some structured way, which is good. And of course, we've all been in a culture where we try to read something in the classes, see the devotees, so that teaching goes on. Now, if you look a little more in introspection, what we'd like you to also think about as far as for a minute is, let's see, where we start with first. What you like best, let's take it from this angle. What do you see as your own community's greatest strength? Just think about that for a minute. Think about your community here. Think about, reflect on, what do you see personally as one of the greatest strengths of your community? What do you see as one of the greatest strengths of your community? And this is, we just want to put a few things on the board. You don't have to write it on paper. But come, you can raise your hand. What do you share with us? What do you see as one of the greatest strengths of your community? Okay, put that down. Someone else. Remember, we're talking about, if you look at community, our needs, as well as what we see as what
we can offer, what our obligations are. And so, as we look at our needs being fulfilled, for him, he's saying one of the things he finds most impressive to him about community, Vaishnava community here, is the friendship. Okay. Someone else?
Common vision.
Common vision?
Two?
Common vision? Different things will be different attractions, you know, the different devotees. For some people, the most important thing in their life is Mahaprasad. Zara. Someone, the thing they like the best is they just love the deities. This is the major thing. It's very similar. Positive impact of preaching. And this is personal. We're looking at personal needs and satisfactions.
No major projects.
Okay. And one of the things is very wonderful to him, but the community. No major politics. You can advertise in the BTG. Community, no major politics. People say, oh, how long can I stay? You come visit. Yeah.
Realistic and strong family values.
Strong family values. Okay. It provides, let's see how rare that is. Relationship between men and women? Relation. Because, you know, sometimes we can, you know, it can be so personal that it can be so loose that it's like a new age thing. So, same relationship. Interesting. Healthy. Bhagavad Ashram, okay.
You're saying
one of the things he likes most about the community is your presence. Good satisfaction.
be a part of the Brisbane program, Brisbane Yatra. If we analyze it, we would all like to see more of this. Different persons are affected by different areas, but in general, these are the things that most of you here find that are favorable, that are strengthening humanity. These are things that you want to see more of, things that you want to be able to protect, things that help you to feel good about being a part of this community. So, now just take just a short minute on your own paper there. Write one or two sentences for yourself. Of what you personally feel that you should be doing, or you should continue to do, to see that these kind of strengths are maintained in you. What you personally feel that you can do more of, and we'll put in that sense, to see that these things are maintained, things that we like, you feel good about, you want to see continue, even to be able to expand. What you personally feel that you can do, guarantee, maintain, and to expand these areas. Friendship, common vision, diversity, people, positive preaching. And you may choose any one of these that you might feel that you should be more involved in helping to maintain, or just a general thing that you feel that you personally can be about to see that most of these are in fact maintained. So you look at them individually, choose one, or you look at them collectively and choose the course of action that you feel could assist in maintaining. Friendship, common vision, diversity of people, positive preaching, no major politics, strong family values, nice relations between men and women, spiritual regulation, nice congregation, good outcome studies, good set song. The reason we're asking for this reflection, and our next reflection in a little while, because we want to remind ourselves that we are the community. That the aggregate of the people who are in the environment are determining what the environment is and what it will become. We should never just think, well, you know, what do I have to do with anything, because the management is there, they're going to do. Or we shouldn't think that any problem is so insurmountable that we can't help to improve it. Or should we feel that everything is going to such an extent that we let other people take responsibility and let them do it or maintain it? No. What we have, what we don't have, is based on what we individually and collectively do or do not do. See, all of these good things we have here, many of them can change overnight unless we value them sufficiently and protect them. Things you mentioned that you like the best about the community, those things could change. If persons like you don't do something to safeguard the sea, that it stays that way. There are so many communities, and you saw it here, where there was so much progress, and then some problems, and huge changes overnight. There are many temples where we had 200 devotees, and now we're lucky if we have 12 or 20. There are several projects where devotees were really found like a big family, and now there's like a fratricidal war going on. When people come to the temple, they're glad to leave because they go home for peace. Come to the temple for politics, for anxiety, frustration, they go home for the stress reliever. I'm out of here. Well, there are situations where, you know, we can see that amazing changes can happen. If we're not having sufficient gratitude, then we can easily
lose what we have. It can invade us. If we don't use what we have properly, Krishna will even take away sometimes. Sometimes devotees have had so many things and, you know, they take for granted. After a while, it becomes more difficult to maintain what you do have. And then later, even what we do have, it gets taken away. So, just as important in having vision, trying to see how to increase and to expand and develop, just as important as having proper attention and maintaining what we do have while we are trying to grow. Or looking closely at what we do have is good, and then being able to amplify that. So, inventory is not taken. We often do to minimize what we need to work on more.
Just that one thing, you know, there's a saying, you don't sweat the little things.
Yes.
In that story you gave this morning about, you know, it's a very, very little thing.
Yeah.
Just to get somebody to sit down, the right person to sit down and have a meal. Mm-hmm. Make the bell ring.
Yes.
But because it wasn't there, all the other activities and everything were actually useless.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like in the positive sense, or in the negative sense, it's like poison. It doesn't take much poison to kill a person.
Yeah.
A tiny little drop of poison will kill a person. But on the other hand, the same thing is there in nutrition. If there's a lack of a certain trace element, then a person can be very ill. But if you just put that one little thing in, everything becomes very healthy. So your point is very sharp. Watchfulness is one little thing can go wrong here, and I think it's a huge disaster.
Yes.
All the way down the road.
Civilizations break down by some unhealthy thing coming in, it becomes like a cancer. Organizations, grouping, families, some issue that it's not giving proper honest communication, cooperation, communion, etc. Just becomes like a plague, you get one domino effect after another. So these are things that we really want to reflect on in terms of how to maintain them. Maybe two or three of you can just share, if you like, well, what you wrote down. I mean, everything is voluntary. We want everybody participating. Not that you all have to speak out unless you want to, but we're asking you to do something, at least write for yourself, so that you are reflecting on what is being discussed, and you are offering something, you know, based on your reflection. Anyone would like to share with us? No, there's no any way to share. Yes.
Commitment on behalf of sharing and offering each other our strengths and support, and a continual conviction to share.
Okay. So he's seen how he can make some guarantee that some of these things are going on by these expressions that he just offered, you know, these submissions.
Mm-hmm. I put down that I have a strong personal commitment to sadhana practice, because I don't feel like you can maintain anything unless you're maintaining your consciousness. And then to renounce envy.
Sorry?
He said renounce envy. And to have, you know, strong sadhana.
To serve other people, serve others, and to be there, and to show courage.
Sure. So he has a nice list for himself here. Show you hold on to your list.
What do you got on
your list? Communicate openly.
Just that on the second point, to communicate more, like to have more, you know, meetings that we've had some, but to have more of that, so to try and get more of a common vision, and to appreciate different styles of achieving goals that different devotees are different, so to celebrate that difference.
Yeah. Environment that we're going to associate in is environment that's conducive, that we're happy with, and we're going to do something to see that we're not just at the mercy of whatever happens, that we help, we play an interesting role in safeguarding and maintaining. Now, obviously, we take the converse of this, you know, the opposite. Alright? So now let's reflect on what you find we have to consider number one thing that you find that is least attractive or more disturbing to you within the community. What do you find, let's see, I'll word it for you. What do you find is your community's greatest weakness? What do you personally find or feel that is your community's greatest weakness? You write down on your paper. You don't write a book now. But you write. What do you personally find community's greatest weakness? Hard one to think about because everything you like, so it's hard to find something that's a weakness. But think about it deeply. What do you consider? Everybody's finished? Just go away. Now, while he's writing these down, so while he's writing down, just a few out, a few more papers. Now, the ones you finished, did you still go back in? Anyway. What's going on here? We get them all together and we do a yugna with these, huh? These all go through you. Deal with this. While he's making this particular list, I want you to write something else down. Hopefully you still have paper.
All right.
I want you to write down this. If you look at yourself, you think of yourself now, and you write down what you see as your worst or greatest negative quality. What do you see in your own devotional career, life, expression as your worst quality?
Why did you get me like this one?
This right one. You have to consider, you know, number one quality that you really like to see just leave today, right away, as soon as possible. No, this, well, we'll tell you what you're going to do with it. You just write it down. You write it down. It's all between you and Krishna and you and Prabhupada. You don't have to sign your name here. Of course, I'm a hand reader, though. I mean, you know, we call it graph all of this. We don't have to worry about you signing your name. I know this is a hard one to think about because everybody has so many good qualities. It's hard to find a negative quality, I'm sure. Just think of it. Think deeply. Writing down your worst quality. Just imagine having to associate with someone who has that quality. You would have to deal with it yourself. Think of your worst quality. Instead of having to have to associate with somebody who has the dominance of that same quality. The qualities you should still hold those. If I know the third. That's your penalty for being slow. Just as the things that we have in the community that we feel good about, and we want to do whatever we can to help maintain those good things, we can keep associating things that were aspiring to it, we did the race course. But now, we have this list of what we consider as weaknesses. First, it was things that we were proud about, happy about, energized, we want to see more of that, we want to protect that, we actually consider what you can do to be able to help us. Some of you share some of the things that you feel you can do. And some of you who did share, you also were thinking about it and you wrote down. So do those things that you feel can maintain the things that you like as a community. Now we're looking at the things that we really want to see change. Lack of respect. Lack of deep Shastra study. You see, none of these, all of these lists, the first one or even the second one, are necessarily 100% accurate. But what we understand is that for that person, it's a reality, even if it's a perception. Perception, it means that this is how one feels and how they are responding based on what they are considering to be a reality. And so we have the reality in the sense that it's categorically situation, but we have also a reality in terms of someone perceiving something to be, and it's going to affect the way that they react, the way that they feel valued, the way that their needs are being addressed, or it's going to affect what they offer based on what they're having to be able to share. So someone who's feeling that the environment is lacking of respect, they're going to be somewhat limited and how much they involve themselves, because this is going to be a paranoia. Lack of deep Shastric study. So someone who's feeling this way, they're either feeling that they're not having the time themselves to study more profoundly, or they're feeling that people who are sharing the classes or speaking or giving some discourse, they're feeling that there is some lacking in their depth of Shastric understanding. This could be either way. The person who wrote it knows. Whether the lack of deep Shastric study is their own feeling that they're not being able to go deep enough, or do they feel that it's also a part of the community. More involvement of congregation. So, here someone is crying out saying they could be much happier in devotional service here, in the project, if they were involved more, or if they see more people being involved. If it's a congregational member, then this person is saying, we want to have more involvement. And I can give more, I can feel better. I think this is a weakness, that there's a lack of involvement. Or somebody who wrote this in the temple, they're saying, being devoted to the temple, having to do everything correctly, the congregation should step forward a little more. The person who wrote it knows which aspect they're expressing. No emphasis on individualism. So someone is feeling too much conformity, a lack of individual expression. This may or may not be true, but this is what someone is feeling that he or she needs in order to feel better about the community. Authoritarian leadership, disempowerment of devotion. So someone is feeling that the nature of the leadership that is too much top down, and that devotees are not feeling sufficiently encouraged, or this person is not feeling encouraged sufficiently for their expression, for their empowerment. So this person is really saying, because I'm a member of the community and I have certain things to give, but I'm not being able to give sufficiently. So this may be a reality, but this person is having this perception, so it's definitely affecting this person's sense of well-being in the community, because they would feel better if somehow they were in a position where they felt that what they could offer was being accepted or being encouraged. Irregular attendance of classes. So that's kind of self-explanatory. Someone would be much more enthused to see more devotees come to class, especially when he gets to class.
Yeah.
responsibility. So this is natural. Someone is saying, this is my community, this is my family, and a weakness for me is that I'm finding that when my I see devotees here with us and then they're gone, it leaves emptiness, this pain, to see that members of our family have left. Judgmental attitudes. So someone is saying that there's too much judgment around something, some issues, and it makes them uncomfortable. So now they know, or they look close, and honestly, if they're feeling that it has too much to do with them being singled out, it has to do with them being reminded too much more than they're comfortable with, about what they should be doing, whether or not this is reality, that is too judgmental, or this person is too loose and gets too disturbed when things are being brought out. But the point is that this person is considering that they are not being able to give as much as they can to receive what they feel they should be receiving because they're considering too much judgmental attitude. Here, 80s, 80 style management. Can you read the whole thing? Yes, he didn't put the whole thing. Not learning from the mistakes, that's written down. 80 style management, meaning that sometimes we keep reinventing the wheel, we keep doing the same thing over and over again. We don't learn from history. This person is feeling that there are issues that we need to give more attention to so that we don't find ourselves procrastinating or experiencing some of the same types of problems. And so there's a cry here for more vision. Cry for more intuition, vision, innovation. Okay? That's relevant to, we're saying, these kinds of needs. Probably because we haven't everybody here in the text. Anyway, this person is feeling that there should be more room for open dialogue about how to apply Krishna consciousness in our lives based on what our project is. And so here we have this list of 10 things, 1, 2, 3, yes, 10 areas that have been brought out by several of you that you feel that the community would be stronger, you especially would be happier, would feel more value, would be able to give more if these things were not existing, or if these things were addressed. So now that we have here, and we could have written all of them down, but for time size sake, we only have these 10. So we have 10 people distinctly who have expressed them. Some of you who wrote down, maybe you have the same thing or something in a category, some cases, difference. But here, as we are dasos, vidasu, dasana, the servants of each other, we are to live in such a way that we encourage each other's Krishna conscious. We are to try to grow as much as we can, help somebody else to grow. So here's like a doctor. Doctors, if a patient is sick, and trying to do, the prognosis to see what the problem is. And so here, some people are saying, there's a sickness, and this is how it looks for me. Or someone is saying, this is where I'm crying out. This is where I feel I need to be helped. Or where I feel the society that I'm a part of, the community, needs to be helped. And something that I'm identifying. So now in the spirit of being the servant of the servants of each other, particularly looking at these areas where there are specific needs for help to make the community better. Now we'd like you to focus on these, and we'd like you to volunteer to choose one of these areas that you personally will try and do something to minimize this problem within the community as is seen by those who have offered service. Okay? Now you're looking at this list to see which of these that you personally feel
that you can make a difference or that you can give more attention to in some way. So that that person, maybe several others, but especially that person who has made a plea, a cry, that there's something in the community that I'm uncomfortable with, there's something in the community that minimizes my focus and my dedication and devotion, there's something that's distracting, there's something that's challenging, there's something that could even cause me to bloom. Because to me, this is a big problem in the community, for me. And so, here's a cry for help, a cry for concern, a cry that hopefully such witnesses, according to that person's perception, would not exist. So now, not deciding whether these are true or not true, but accepting that they're true in the sense that it's someone's genuine see perception. So if we act upon our perceptions, then it becomes a reality for us, even if it's not fully a reality. So these are realities for at least 10 different people who we're supposed to be concerned about. And now we want some of you to give some thing that you personally feel that you can do to help to eradicate or to minimize some of the issues here, some problem on the categories that some one or some devotees are actually being challenged with. Can you look at this? Or you feel there's one there that you think that you personally can help to minimize some of the problem that seems to entail, or deception is along with that, then just share with us what you feel you can do.
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, just something about the noise to ghosties.
Okay.
I think this is a chronic problem in our society. So many places that the ghosting process has dried up. And one comment a devotee made to me while we were having breakfast, or just after breakfast, was that the beauty of what you're doing, you know, everybody.
It's creating problems.
Coming here, stirring things up. No, apart from the fact that it's you and everybody's attracted, the beauty of your your being a neutral person is a very powerful element in Easter ghosting, because so often in the past Easter ghosting has pretty much become like a management hell. This is the way it's going to be, and the idea of freedom is not there, and really, at the end of the day, people have to feel free to be able to express themselves, to reveal their minds. And so the feeling is there. I think what we're talking about is the feeling of confidence. So, what can I do? Well, I don't have any official position. And I've more or less made a resolution not to do that ever again, for various reasons. But in recent months, I got involved with a group of devotees from the community in the governor. And with one thing or another, I ended up being the chairman of that group. And they're quite happy with the work that I've done. And it's because I try to keep the neutral position. In the sense, I'm not a member of it. So although I am a member of the community here, you know, I'm probably, in terms of years of experience, I'm the most senior person. So I can render a service of being a facilitator for a situation.
So then what you're offering as a suggestion is that perhaps you could assist in helping to facilitate and see that it's a go-see process goes on. So, what is offering suggestions then? Someone else, what they feel that they can do? Based on these areas, yes?
I was just thinking about the devotees coming and going, that I think I really need to make more of an effort to have a personal relationship to the people who are coming. Because I find that generally, after some months, someone will be too busy, develop that distrust, like you think someone will be, and you don't want to And I think it's more important because people are going to say if they feel like they have no friends and they have no family and they're by themselves here.
So you hear what she's saying? She's addressing the one about coming and going. That sometimes we're a little shy about getting too close to someone, establishing a relationship, because we don't want to make ourselves vulnerable to being hurt. The person leaves, or we don't want to create a bond that doesn't see prevail. And so she's saying that she, in her own example, she's going to be more attentive and trying to actually to meet people, to talk with them, to be there for them, to share, to communicate, and not be so much thinking that, well, this person may leave anyway, so why should I, you know, try to have friends with this person?
Mm-hmm. All right, so there's another aspect of that that quite a few people commented to me on, not, again, over the years, not just in terms of things that happened in this temple, but there's very, very much the perception that, well, you know, when I'm just a visitor, I'm treated really nicely. I get served, I get welcomed, but then as soon as I join the temple, nobody talks to me, nobody cares about me, and I'm just made to work. And rather than, you know, it's kind of like the difference between getting caught doing something right and getting caught doing something wrong. Suddenly, you know, everything I'm doing by coming to the temple and associating with the devotees and such, I'm complimented and encouraged on that, and then as soon as I join the temple, everything I, any time I'm dealt with, is just to pick me up on something I'm doing wrong.
Yeah, this is an issue that, you know, we all are involved in, and that our posture is usually a great excitement because, devotees are merciful in the sense that we're always happy when a new person comes, they become interested in Krishna consciousness. It makes us also feel the philosophy, you know, is working. And then once they become a part of us, we kind of lose the same freshness and zeal. And it's an area that's relevant to community in general. That healthy community has to constantly be recreated. We can't exist just based on successes of 10 years ago or 5 years ago. We can't progress just from, say, a continuation of something that was in motion some time back, because often, you know, the needs can change. And sometimes success even can be our greatest enemy, because even with success, it can cause us to become stagnant and keep doing the same thing, while now, to have further success, we may need to look a little closer at the situation. So, you know, where in some places in the past, mainly everything could go on just by Harinam, and so one may consider, well, we can still do similar. But yes, maybe the best, possibly not necessarily at the time. But so when someone comes, yeah, there's a freshness, when we see a new face, a new devotee, we're glad. We're going to shake somebody up real soon. we're just counting the hours. I mean, the Clippers are real. we got one here. We got extra salary upstairs. We got a girl here, she's ready. go home and get your suitcase. Come back for your thing. But we do want to have that freshness when we realize that this devotee has been devotee for 5 years, 6 years. How wonderful I can associate with him. But a devotee for 20 years, 25 years. Hey, every devotee, if we see that devotee, we should think, wow, this soul is saying yes to Mahaprabhu's mission. This devotee is a part of Prabhupada's mission, a part of the Saraswati family. How fortunate we have these opportunities. Well, then we have to have that kind of freshness toward almost every aspect of our devotion. Not that, oh, another japa period. Another Mangalwati. Oh, Tulsi Pool is going too long today. Oh my God, Sundararchi time. This should be a wonderful opportunity once again to serve Krishna. Someone, an area that they personally want to address me?
I just have the concern, but we have so many difficulties that stem down. And when you get talk about them, it seems like a can of worms.
These are very few.
Yes.
Yeah. In other words, it's expected that we have a lot of things we like, a lot of things we need to improve. Mm-hmm. That's natural. This we have, it's a very rational list. It's not something that's so unusual.
So my challenge to myself is to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. This austerity of the mind is to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. and there's also the difficulty is that, like there's a saying, as interfering help is given.
Speak out a little.
As interfering help is given, ability and confidence is taken away.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, when you try to do something about a problem, you actually make it worse, or you contribute to it. Whereas if you, I'm not saying that we should bury our heads in the sand, but sometimes it's like we have to accept that by being satisfied that that's the best contribution we can make to the situation.
So he's saying that for him, feels a way that he can help improve in these areas. In his own case, is to be more satisfied. And he's also saying that sometimes if we try to help to fix something, we break it more. But again, this is where healthy communication, cooperation, and communion, you know, comes in. It's not that one is necessarily right about their categorization, or even right about what they would like to offer. But the point is that in healthy community, people should feel that they have right to communicate and right to offer, that their desire to help is appreciated. It may not be fully accepted, but that there's a channel where they have opportunities to be able to share something with that may be a compliment, maybe an aid, or maybe even a criticism. See, if we are criticizing this for fault finding, then obviously there's a problem. Serious problem. It doesn't help anybody. The subject or the object. But if we do feel that something is not right, we have a duty to try to see how to serve. But we also have a duty not to be attached to the results. Because maybe we're right, maybe we're wrong. But we have an opportunity, and it's helping one to suggest and to present. And then it's up to the authorities whether they accept or not, whether to be able to present. Any other person? Yes.
I like having a kind of words.
Okay.
And sometimes I think a little word stayed away from commercial
criticism.
I think it was in response to the environment of the devotees. I'm a believer in attracting each other in relationships, and being friendly, attracting people worth knowing, and important for me.
Okay. So, what do you see that you could perhaps do in that area?
It's the same thing that I had in response to the other stuff as well, is trying to...
Take your courage?
No, it's about being present to people in whatever relationship presents to you, with other people, to be trying to be genuine and authentic in that. And there's an emphasis on relationships, and rather than authoritarian, more like a trusting.
So that's emphasis on individuals.
Okay, so what she's saying then is that she feels that there should be a greater need for individualism, empowerment, and she feels that what she can try to do herself is to be more present in such a way to try to help others to feel more valued and encouraged. Now, as an older devotee, she feels that she can help in this way.
Excuse me, sorry.
I'm
scared
about it.
It's not the
problem for
the
other person,
it's the
problem
for me.
Yes. It's the same relationship to get.
Okay.
I'm going to be a little bit of an opposite of that energy, and I feel like I'm having myself up with something more, but I think that's really good.
Similar to what Ram was mentioning, in terms of being more grateful. Because if you consider the long list we had of things that people are happy about, it was quite a nice list. Very powerful list. And we see, in order to increase the things we're happy about, we also will look at some of the areas we feel is lagging a little bit, so that we can, you know, catch up on those, speed up on those, improve on those. When someone says, well, everything is all right, everything in my family is just wonderful, you know, there's a problem. in my business, in my church, my group, my temple, I mean, there is no problem. Hopefully that's both of the problems in that place. So, you know, it's going to be realistic as we try to see how to improve more. Maybe one other person could share.
Yes.
The two of you then will.
Listening to the speaker there, not sure. Many of the items in there, and earlier, I mean, this morning, you mentioned about organizations, about the management and people.
Okay.
And one of the things you said was, and it is still very, very common, where people often experience skills person slip of this, they say, very hard worker, very good worker. If it is 100 things. If one thing somebody perceived was not the way they did it or they thought it wasn't right, there's a jump up and try to hang that man and totally disregard.
Sure.
Like the 99 thing that is that exceptionally well, far better than the best of them could do it. So there's a tendency in there, and they say the answer to that, and we cover more of them, like lack of respect and lack of individual. And as mentioned, the IT star, what in government does this very strong emphasis on that and expenditure recently, what they call, they use several nice words like, you know, participative management way, and the team way, well, we are a team and we got this goal or aim to do. Let's work as a team rather than being a senior or a junior or a master. Let's everybody contribute. Give the ideas and work as a family. So even a very new work person who perceives to be felt like you and everybody is kicking them around, you know, as a football, will feel important. Oh yes, I'm a member of this team. I have my respect as an individual, and we are operating as a family.
Okay, so what you see you can offer is to kind of help remind us that we're a team. So we're talking about personal offerings.
I mean, like all of us, you know, if we think along that line of order over this, right, that we are here, let's work together as a team, discuss it, or rather than one person, you do this, go and do that way. Let's get together with now. These are the ways to be done that. Let's go. We're going to do this way, get together, and be proud of you.
Okay, so again, your focus is that we're constantly saying there is power in teamship, power in honoring the example of a family, and that there are definitely differences, definitely different views, but you feel that you can have play a role helping to create more of this kind of teamship by helping, hopefully, to remind us of such. That's good. Okay, the last one?
No, there's one. That's why you're writing that.
Okay. So, what we looked at our time is running out, so we had this list of things that we all liked, which we erased. It's all in our minds, it's in our hearts. We're going to protect that and have more of that. We have this list of some of the weaknesses in our community. We see the list. There's other things that may fit into some of these categories. But these are areas that particularly, if these were minimized, then our list that we like would even be more powerful, more effective, and those who picked out such issue would be happier in their devotional service. So first, then one of the things is the management. Write this down. Because these are just some perceptions some people have. This is something to, you know, to reflect on. These are some of the issues that some people in the community feel that if these are addressed, they'll be even more happier about already being happy about being a part of the So if people are happier, they get more service, they are much more efficient conscious, and it makes management a lot easier. Good. Now, this last thing we have here is an area that you feel personally, what did I say, that you see is your, one of your worst qualities. Alright? What you consider is a quality that you would like to see improved on within your own devotion that would allow you actually to be a better member of the community. Because what is a community? It's all of us. It's what each of us bring to the environment. So now as we look at some of the things that some of our members are concerned with, that they like, some things they're not so happy with, what we can do to maintain the good things, what we can do to help eradicate or minimize some of the weaknesses. And one of those major things is looking at ourselves and what we feel that we need to be able to improve on. So, you've all written down something, yes? Okay. Now let's see a way how we can take this one.
We have to read them out.
We read out, you may be a little intimidated. We collect them, read them. I think some of you wouldn't mind reading. Let's get down to our ten. What we'll do is we'll help each other on this also. Get our baskets. Okay. Let's see what we have now. And just take all new ones.
What were
you writing? What you're writing now is personal. What you see is your own worst quality. That you feel that you really need to have some help on or you need to improve on. So you're looking at what you see as a quality that you are dissatisfied with within your own devotion that you feel you need to work on. Yes, and just put it in the basket. Put them all in the basket, and I'm going to make a prayer, and we're going to relieve you of all of those problems. Collecting these. We're almost finished. Just bring what you have so far, okay? Still getting more. I think I'm going to have two things. Why don't you just sit down for 2 minutes more? Does anybody still get something out? We got about 30 people, we only have 15 notes. At least about 15 of you know, but probably you have to worry about. So, whoever did put one in has no bad qualities, let us know so we can all touch your feet. We'll give you our problems. You can afford to take everybody's problem because you have none. Okay, now, as a community, helping each other again, struggling together, suffering together, enjoying together, all going back to Godhead together. Getting blessed by the deities simultaneously. Okay, I'm just going to go around and ask a few of you to take something out of here, take one of these out of here. And what we have in here, of course, is we'll have a great, great problem for someone that they're having in their devotional life. And we'd like you to take their problem, put it on your head, take your problem, put it in their head, you say a prayer for them. You say a prayer. You take the problem that's here, and you look at it, and you just very prayerfully reflect on it, and then you share some wisdom and advice of how you think that person can be helped, or what they can do in minimizing, that particular problem that they have. In some cases, we may have this very same problem this person is having, or we may have had it, and now we are becoming freed of it. But you take the problem, and then you just try to share, based on your own realizations, of what you think can sort of help that person. Okay?
What if you
get out on your back? It's a serious issue for you. Open it up. The rule is passing the line. Pastor, yes. Someone this side also. Just take your note, look at it, read it, put it on your head, reflect, pray. Now this time, this is really direct. There's someone in your community who previously talked about the good things they liked in the community, talked about the bad things they felt, or things they felt needed to be improved. And now this is more of a direct plea. They're saying, this is something within my own life that I'm struggling with. It's an issue for me. And now you, loving God, brother, God, sister, uncle, auntie, associate, manager, servant of servants, is to give them the help. Alright? And so as you look at it, you share with that person what you feel could perhaps assist them to minimize or to eradicate this issue, this area of weakness. Okay? Look at what you have. And just imagine that whatever you're going to offer is going to go into that person's heart, into their mind, going to give them strength to be able to be less affected with their problem. You have a duty to save this person's life. You have a duty to help this person in their spiritual progress. And you may get some spiritual blessings by helping them in this way also. Okay? So you look at what you have. Who wants to start off first? Who wants to be merciful? And offer some loving affection, guidance. Huh? Anybody mercy here? Merciful here? Okay. Okay. So someone's issue is that they're too much compromising.
There's three issues here.
Okay.
First, there is too much compromising. Second one, lack of strong commitment. And third one, fence.
What's the third one?
Fence.
On this side. Alright, on this side. Okay. So how can you help this person? They're in distress in these areas now. They're calling out. They need help. Help, help.
Firstly, you talked about this, the aggrieved person compromising with whom or where.
Okay.
Just to discuss this over, right, freely. Mm-hmm. And say that there's a look at it, I'm a bit confused and polite, mm-hmm. rather than offending.
Okay.
This and, I'm not clear.
Okay.
Along that line, open up a friendly dialogue. And number two, lack of strong commitment. I mean, it seems that this one steps are flowing from the first one, and similarly a third one. And I think on the in the spillover of it, the root is do you have to agree that branches
okay, so he's bringing more attention to this area of communication, dialogue, etc. Okay, that's an offering with his blessings, whoever's having that problem. Someone else can share some mercy, what they think could help. Okay.
This one is procrastination. So what I find is helpful is make a little list and usually...
Do we hear? The problem is...
Procrastination,
okay. And he's offering now some words of wisdom here.
Usually, I find for myself there's a lot of things in the mind stopping me. So I make a little list of all the things that are in the mind and I just work through them one thing at a time until such time as I may achieve what I want to achieve.
Okay. So he has a systematic plan. Making a list like this and being able to take notice of what has been achieved, what still has to be done, etc. Putting oneself and giving more attention in this way. Better time planning, time management. Someone else?
This one is laziness and sleepiness.
Welcome. I'm not the only one kind of in this way. When you find the answer, let me know also. So what did this person do? He less Oliver?
Do something. Well, in a sense, it's funny because these two things in relationship, I think, to the previous two things, that what underlies it is a need to practice making decisions and acting on them. My experience is laziness and going to sleep is really, I make a decision that's all I want to do, right? That's all I'm going to do. And it's quite often an avoidance of some emotional problem, some emotional trauma that appears to be too painful. So,
to make decisions.
Get more exercise and make some decision to at least maybe approach somebody and see if you can't uncover. You might not even be fully conscious what the problem is, but through working through some things with people, it'll come to light and that will uncover the energy that's been involved.
So you're suggesting that sometimes this sleepiness, laziness is really covering over for some emotional thing, issue. Sometimes we seek to deal with pain, deal with bewilderment, anxiety, depression, or it could be a physical affair where the body just needs more exercise, needs to commit itself in some way so that one doesn't take shelter of so much of the motive ignorance. Okay, maybe one or two more?
I've got here, I'm projecting my own insecurities onto others, becoming critical.
Yes.
So I would think that it's very important to try and have a high level of self awareness and self knowledge to know what's actually going on within oneself, and that can only be got generally by talking with somebody who's more experienced in these things, somebody who may have some expertise but is also senior devotee to understand what the own insecurities are, and therefore the person will, it's I found in my own case to be able to do this, it helps you not to criticize others because you can see that actually it's not them, they're just representing something that's happened to you. And especially, you may find a lot of problems that insecurities or problems that we have are due to authority figures, often parents. So we have, if there's some failure we have with parents or the parents failed us or something like that, then if we have another person in authority, then we may project our own failings from the past onto them, kind of replay the situation, even though that person isn't trying to replay it, but we kind of replay it. And and therefore, you know, because we're all devotees, then Vaishnava Purana comes in, and therefore it becomes really much heavier than just a psychological cult, essentially. And so if we can approach senior devotees to reveal our mind and understand, you know, what it is that's affecting us, and to help overcome that and see that, then it won't affect us, and we'll be free from it.
You see how as you're offering different things, you know, they're coming in these categories. Huh? So this issue also, that there's, and this is very, very profound, that there are many things that we bring, of course, from our past, heredity, socialization, earlier this life, past life, and they come out now. We all come from different kind of environments, family environments, whatever. And a lot of the baggage is, you know, following us. And so it will have an effect on our present relationships, have an effect on some of our perceptions, how we codify things, especially when we are not looking close at what is really our past. We just take it for granted, and things can just out. But we're able to kind of look closer at some of our past, then we can separate some of that sometimes from what is really going on at the present time. Let's take one last one. Someone's 12:30.
After Mark someone said I throw away my
shadow. Okay. That's what this one says?
Yeah.
They throw away from Sodom?
Yeah.
Throw away. Okay.
Yeah.
So these are very practical considerations. Someone is in their problem, putting away their food, so she's offering some points. Okay, I think anything else? Let's see, anyone who hasn't spoken at all yet? Who has one, anyone? Okay.
Paranoia, like trust. Paranoia, obviously, being all, lack of trust. I guess sometimes we feel that everyone hates us, but in the last couple of weeks, there was a couple of people approaching me thinking that everyone hated them. And I reflect on them now, when I first came, I was like, I just expressed that to everyone to some degree, I'm probably thinking like that, but.
Come to the Hare Krishna hate chamber.
We approach the people, and we find that actually they don't like us, and sometimes we have to take risks, like with trust, and just have to take that step and try.
Okay. And sometimes we have some low esteem, self esteem. Or sometimes we become bewildered. Come to the temple and someone says, Babu, don't put your beads there. Babu, don't turn your back on the D. Babu, don't go to the bathroom with your Harinam Charan. Babu, don't eat with two hands. You hate me. Get out of here. Okay, now, here's a very last thing. What would you like to see happen in your community in the next 3 years?
3 years?
Yes. If we don't plan, Maya will plan for us. If we don't pursue short-term goals, we have trouble reaching longer-term goals. If we don't try to have some vision, we don't know where we're going, any road will do. We can reach a lot faster where we want to go. If we are having some idea of where we'd like to go, Krishna in the heart, of course. He hears the devotees' requests, their pleas, their prayers. And it's mentioned here about, you know, a common vision on the other side. It's very powerful. So, let's reflect on, and we got to, let's write these down, let's do these down. We can write on the board so it'll be a little faster. So, yes. So some of you, let's give 30 seconds for people to think first. But what you would like to see, you know, happen in your community in the next 3 years. I mean, there's many things, but just give one thing that you would particularly like to see, you know, develop, finalize, happen within the next 3 years. That would make you personally feel even more excited about being part of the community. It makes you personally feel more needed, more valued. It helps you to feel, you know, more enthused with what the vision is, and what it's accomplishing. So, okay, we're gonna make a list, okay? What about the
Mine's a little. I'd like to see that we have our temple built with the through the support of a strong congregation, which is adequately administered.
Okay, so temple construction. Connection with strong congregation. That is one, number one. Temple construction, connection with strong congregation.
With adequate ministry.
Okay. A little louder. Okay, devotees. Seen as long-term investment. Making devotees is a priority.
As well as having to make these devotees, there's so many devotees that are around in Brisbane that I know of who like never come to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And so somehow managing to encourage them and make them feel like they can be comfortable there and like they're not out of place. Because I think it's harder as someone who's been and not come for a long time than someone who's.
Okay. So that's what ways to encourage devotees who have left. I can see more ways to encourage devotees who have left. Okay. Regular stenosis.
So a small congregational meeting. Small
home
program.
More home programs.
Various resources properly utilized. Optimum
use. Optimum use of resources. Resources.
To see various devotees taking up particular positions according to their nature and really becoming committed and becoming like pillars in that aspect of the equation.
Okay. Devotees engaged more according to their nature.
Especially to see devotees committed to that particular nature and become leaders in that way.
With commitment.
Strengthening of the community, which can support the devotee socially, spiritually, financially, and all the other aspects.
Okay. He wants a miracle. Okay. Strengthening. You got to put in all areas.
The foot and body is material and spiritual.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes right here. Yes. Supporting the body, yes. Spiritual maturity.
Can you
see the
development of the standard in your program?
Service leader?
Yeah, or the senior Mataji being more accessible and more accepting of the senior Mataji for the greater access to the senior
Mataji. Okay. Senior devotees. Being more accessible.
I'd like to see more of a culture of equality between the sexes.
Okay.
In the community.
Okay.
On that level. So
culture of equality. So we get the women taking out the garbage and there's equality here. Women clean the car, take out the garbage, change the oil. Equality, this is not. Yeah, I'm just joking. okay, one or two lessons.
Mine is more or less same as the first one that I get established in the new temple.
Okay, so is that what we already have? Anything else you would like to see next 2 years?
I'd like to see more interesting distribution of profits.
Okay. More creative distribution of Shri Prabhupada's books.
I'd like to see some workshops to depth some of the things that we talk about so they have to cover it in it.
Okay. Would you like to see some follow up? Okay, one last one. Anyone? What would you like to see? Like to see you serve ice cream. So, Mama, I'd like to see you stop so I can eat lunch. Okay. Okay, I think we have everything. The category. Let's just go over 3 minutes what we discussed and then we'll stop. So we looked in fact at just processing things. And just basically in general that yes, just hearing Bhagavad Gita class in here is very powerful. Hearing a lecture, hearing a presentation, reading things, very powerful. We're looking at, we read, especially in Kali Yuga, this is general, that so much of what we read, we get, much of what we hear, we don't retain. 30% of what we see, we pretty much focus more on what we see because we're seeing. A lot of senses are being engaged. We see and hear 50%, 70% of what we discuss, 80% of what we participated. So today we did put a little more time into sort of discussing and sharing. Some of you directly, others, as you wrote something down, so we all had some way, you know, to be able to participate. And if there was a way we could teach what we're reflecting on, it would be even more powerful. We looked at Bhaktivinoda's teachings in terms of the Shikshamrita, where he gives us this powerful formula, what will make successful community. Goswami also lets us know in Upadesha Samhita when he talks about things that will bring vinashati or fall down and the things that will bring proper growth and advancement. These are also similar because community is like a living entity, a living organism, and it has to be cared for, it has to be protected. So the same kind of things that cause individual fall down can cause collective disturbance in the community when many people are pursuing such. Just like we know that Pajapa or over-endeavoring for an individual, it can cause fallout. So also the community is over-endeavoring, too much attention toward things that are too materialistic, or there's too much collective, you see for Japa, so also it will bring things down. We know that if the body is not given proper attention, then you can have all kinds of good desires and so many other things, there's going to be a problem, because we are carrying, you know, these bodies. If our mind is not stimulated, we can do things out of duty, we can conform for so long, but after a while we'll stop, and even while we're doing such things, we won't bring our full selves into the picture. If we do not have a healthy social environment, then all these other areas will also be a problem. Even if we're healthy, even if our own mind culture is good, if somehow the environment is not supportive, is not energizing, then we bloat, or we go to another community, or we start doubting that the process can even work. And if we have this healthy, motor goodness environment, we don't have to study the Shastra, then still, you know, we'll miss the point. Maya will find ways to come in. When we try to be more present for each other, protect each other, serve each other, then it means communication should be more forward. With a way to try to serve each other. We should be very eager and looking for ways to cooperate. Instead of going fault finding, we go love finding to see how to address each other's needs. Communion, is that we enjoy then being able to do many things together in the process of sadhu sangha, Ravana, Kirtana, Vishnu, Smarana, etc. That we do these
in congregation. We have in the list which we erased of the things that we like so much, and we said we want to protect those areas. We want to see how to amplify them. We want to do what we can to see that they increase. And here, then we have the list of some of the things that we're not so happy with. Was it over here? This is here, yes. Oh no, this is a 3-year plan. This is a 3-year plan. What was the list? We erased it.
Yes.
Okay, so we had the list of weaknesses. Some people felt that this was an issue or an area that they particularly would like to see change that would help them to feel better about being in the association. Then we asked you to share what you thought you could do in helping to make some improvements. Then we had this list here of things we would like to see happen in the environment in the next couple of years. And also in your own minds, you should carry with you what you're going to do to see some of these things take place. You know. All this is to remind us that we shouldn't just wait for something to happen. We shouldn't, you know, that there are people who just let things happen. They wonder what happened, so to speak. There are people who just go along, you know, and they consent. But we should be those who are being empowered and being enlivened to be responsible for what does come about, so that we create what is best for our own devotional life, especially for our children. Each of us, decisions that we make are establishing an environment and a culture that's going to influence what our children are going to have, what they're going to have to deal with. And we don't want them to have to be, you know, rather, let's say, bankrupt. That what we leave for them is just a lot of chaos, problems, confusion, struggles, where they have to pick up what we left behind, and we didn't give them sufficient ammunition to make it easier for them. We don't want them to have to be pioneers, like we had to be pioneers, made all kinds of sacrifices in some cases that we're suffering for now. But as we look closer at what is good, protect it, reinforce it, have more honesty about what needs to be given attention to, and then having more determination, not to just wait for somebody else to fix it, but to see what we can do in order to be able to make a difference. So basically all we really talked about was looking at needs. We have individual needs, we have collective needs, and we also have obligations and responsibilities. And we all have a responsibility to try to protect those things that are good for Krishna consciousness, and we all have a strong responsibility to try to minimize those issues that cause us and others to be uncomfortable, you know, in our relationships. We determine what our future is. Each particular program, each project. We don't have to ever minimize the fact that Krishna can do the most amazing things for just even one person. We see how he gave, and one of the reasons about battle of Kurukshetra was fought, just to place Yudhisthira on the throne. We see that he gave Dhruva Maharaj an entire plan. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jinanda are here, and each of us can make so much of a nicer environment by our devotion, by our prayers, and by our service. We should try to be within ourselves the change that we expect to see in the community. But we want to see better happen. We should try to see that we are that ourselves. And that will make, you know, some adjustments. Just a matter of degree. We've all seen cases where, you know, a devotee is very strong in his devotion, her devotion, and she raises the standard, you know, of the whole environment. And we've also seen cases where someone gets into the heavy maya, the japa, criticism, cynical, and they have a way of, you know, of bringing pollution to the whole environment. This is what we were talking about this morning. One person is important, each person is important. We don't want to, while dealing with many, minimize the one. We don't want to use people to make things happen. Want to make things basically happen for the people. We're focusing mainly on just external productivity, and we'll be having so many projects where we're using people to make things happen, and then more people and make things happen, and then a lot of problems fall out because a lot of people are in anxiety and Krishna is not pleased. But if somehow, if, as was mentioned, people are the priorities, devotees are the priorities,
then we constantly try to create a greater supportive environment so that the souls who are saying yes to Krishna will keep on saying yes. And our last one, we mentioned how devastating it is when somebody comes into the association of spiritual community and they leave. They become like ghosts. We don't want to see anybody suffering in that extent. We want to minimize that as much as possible by addressing these kind of needs so they have less and less reason to be attracted by Maya. It's gone from the child of divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada ki, Vaishnava the core ki, Vaishnava commitments to make things better, do your work ki, president with the list of complaints ki.
Madam.